Sunboro 381.
Make the record reflect the vice chairman.
Representative Ferns, do you want to stand in for Sunboro, please?
Yes, for the chair.
Before I identify yourself, sir, and give under this light, will you go?
Representative Walt Ferns, represent District 14 of Cambridge. I'm one of the sponsors of the Senate bill on the House side. Senator, in terms of the committee, the purpose of the legislation is to construct what's commonly called a statewide crime lab. So there's so many information about you, probably already know. Alaska currently send criminal investigated material out to the FBI lab, whereas the lab has in the past provided analysis of this material free. They do encourage states where possible to develop their own facilities in order to process any evidence. Those of you who are in the profession surely aware of it, I guess in the state of Alaska we have what's called the 120-day rule, whereas it's necessary to have that evidence processed, documented, or whatever, and return it back to the state within that 120 days. And again, in all sincerity, to my knowledge, there has not been any undue problem with that. But by the end of the it is in the best interest of the state of Alaska to take the necessary step to set up its own facility. Mr. Joe Messick from the Department of Public Safety is here, and he can share the more detailed information as to the structure and its contents and those kinds of things that may want. My mission today is to encourage support to share our quality as to what the reason for the legislation.
Thank you, sir. Do you know what reason there is there a reason there? Do you have any information why the governor is not governor's list priorities?
Mr. Chairman, it was my understanding that the governor was deep. I want to put this in his priorities, but I was as surprised as most of my colleagues that it was not there. I have not personally talked to the governor as to the rationale why.
You are a member of the Anchorage Caucus?
Yes, I am, sir.
Is this on your priority list, Anchorage Caucus?
It is on the priority list, and it has been included in the portion of the capital budget that's put together by the House. Senator, let me share this. The capital amount in our budget is $5,098,000. The full cost of this facility is $5,603,000. My understanding, should this legislation pass, at least to the House floor, that adjustment will be made. The impact of that. can see then that he has been delayed in going in a direct, in a different direction. His investigation by a period of several months. This is certainly not desirable. In addition, Senator Representative Farris indicated 120 days ago. It's true, there are problems on occasion that develop there. The remedy is usually for a continuance, usually requested by the state. To my knowledge, there's only been one case in which there's ever really been any grief as a result of getting the evidence in something other than a timely manner and not getting a continuance. There was a case in Fairfax in which the judge disallowed the results of that analysis from the FBI. Nonetheless, there is that problem with rescheduling and so on in the court system. At present, we say we have a crime lab in Anchorage. In truth, really, it's a drug identification facility. We have four forensic chemists on board now, and really 99% of their time is consumed in the identification of substances thought to be narcotics and other controlled substances. We're probably aware that the narcotics problem is not getting better in the state, but in fact getting worse. As a result, there are more and more cases involving narcotics, and there are, of course, then more substances to be identified by the lab. We are unable to do such things as hairs and fibers analysis. For example, if there is an altercation or an assault, perhaps on a woman, along with a break or network we might have. If there's a physical confrontation, probably some head hairs or fibers from the jacket of the assailant, just such as this, would be transferred to the victim. But to the extent that we have hairs and fibers analysis on board, it would be in with that investigation. It would be entirely possible to match the fibers, very minimal small fibers, found on the person in the victim, which would match those of the assailant. You may recall the case in Atlanta, the Wayne Williams case, within the last year or so. The evidence overwhelming that actually linked his conviction was the analysis of fibers from the carpet of the back of his van with those found on the victims. And so we would hope to have that same sort of capability in the lab. That same person might be able, for example, to tell, in the case of a hit and run accident or a drunk and driving incident, if the headlights of the vehicle were on when the incident occurred. Because if they were not, there would not be the adherence of small bits of fiber or bits of glass onto the film of the headlight. If, in fact, the light was on, it would be possible to see that there were minute bits of glass that became fused to the film of that headlight. There are these and any number of other examples of what a crime lab can do. I think this committee has heard a number of them last year, and I wouldn't burden you with a lot of time in going through it, although I'd be happy to. It's one of my favorite subjects. Perhaps Mr. Chairman would like the pleasure of the committee for me to respond to questions.
Thank you. I just like to say that the type of investigation you're talking about now is being done by the FBI back in their lab for the state, right?
That's correct.
So you're not really widening your ability to obtain evidence, you're just doing it more expeditiously.
That's correct, sir.
And at the present time, this work being done by the FBI lab and also the expert witnesses at Central Alaska is being paid for by the
That's correct. All of those services are extended by the FBI and no service to the requesting agency. One thing I might point out, sir, we do not intend to duplicate the FBI. What we do want to have is the ability to perform the more common sorts of analyses, it's known to analyzing evidence for the crimes. For the analysis of evidence, it requires rather sophisticated equipment. While it's of an unusual nature, it requires skills that we do not now have. It only occurs once or twice a year. We wouldn't seek to be able to do that. We would continue to send those sorts of tests back to the FBI. So we would still be working very closely with that.
I guess the point being that I was trying to make is in as much as that all these services are available. At this time, we're not really increasing our ability to fight crime. We're just expediting.
That's right.
And you mentioned, like, was this prompted where CIP submitted a letter service for this driver?
I can only say I think so. I just haven't been privy to that, so
Is there a tendency on the part of law enforcement authorities, because there isn't a final record, to limit what the FBI is allowed to do in terms of the scope of the body? Because I'm thinking about whether the practice is to focus in on an individual and then ask the FBI rather than to use the FBI kind of to screen a variety of potential
that's a little more perceptive question. Indeed, that does happen. Sort of study with the department put together about 2 years ago. And as I was traveling around the state talking to some of the police chiefs and their investigators, I would ask them, gee, to what extent do you need this particular type of analysis being performed in the state? Or how many times do you send this sort of thing back to the FBI? Well, gee, maybe they really didn't know. And it was rather difficult to grapple with. And they said, well, really, we find that because we can't get that information out of the FBI in an expeditious way, we know that all of these folks can do is they drug test. We rely less upon the analysis of physical evidence. We try to build our case with other means. And this, of course, to me is to not use evidence that can be very crucial, both in proving or adding to the burden of the proof of an individual, as well as exonerating one who will be shown to be innocent. So your question, I would have to answer yes. I'm not going to find individuals in law enforcement who would say, no, we're going to send them back to the FBI about this. I just don't think that's going to happen. You know, you sit and talk with them one too long. I have found and meet some of them have said, yeah, we don't. We'd like to be able to get these tests here in Alaska.
Square feet, you're going to have 7 people working, right?
Well, our existing 4 forensic chemists will be there in addition to the existing fingerprint personnel.
So you're going to have a total of like 11 people?
11 plus. We have 4 fingerprint personnel. I'm not sure if one of them will be remaining here or if all of them will go up to Anchorage.
How many of those?
Or at least 15, sir.
They're talking about transferring ones from down here.
One of them is retiring, and I'm not sure how the rehire is going to be handled.
What I'm trying to get at is what would be the increase in the workforce in the FBI? Everybody, the critics of the legislature and of the administration, both seem highly concerned about new hires and state employees, and that's always something to harder talk. And the building facility, we have some people that don't want to be
yes, sir.
Anything else for the service? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else that would like to have a testimony on this? The gentleman, you know what this bill is? We got the initial bill last year, the preliminary bill, the first phase. We'll give you the information. That's the Secretary of the Bureau of the General. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to report the bill. Thank you. problems in the court. They didn't know what the jurisdiction of the primary and some of the municipalities did not understand what the jurisdiction of the municipality was. And once the local option, if a municipality approved the license, unless it's against, that can be proven to be against the best public interest, then the ABC board has nothing more to do than to approve the issuance of that license. The municipalities didn't understand that, apparently, so my conversation with them, they didn't quite understand that. They had to take it upon them, so they would approve a license and say, well, I'm sure that they'll approve it, but I'm sure the board will turn it down. Well, that was, they had it mixed up. So I think that was the basis of it. And I see now that we have that problem straightened out. It appears to me, at least, that the ABC board is going to go forward more fine chances and more incisive manner to enforce the law, and they're going to take it upon themselves to regulate more. In fact, require the municipalities to make up their minds to make a determination, and even then, if they feel that it is against the best interest, particularly in additional issuance of licenses and put a moratorium of 90 days or 120 days. They arbitrarily did that, but it was, I think it was looked upon, it was favored by the private people. Is there any other questions from the postman? Anybody who would like a public testimony? This is Chairman.
Setting IRS refunds has been an effective tool. Significant collection totals have been noted, but there was a more important aspect to the state of Alaska's use of the process. Many of the absent parents that would not have paid anything were caught by the IRS network. One of the reasons for this is that the offset process is one of the few effective ways to collect on an administrative case. During 1982, we submitted 227 cases for intercept. We picked intercept process for IRS for the non-AFTC cases become real clear when you're comparing Alaska to many of the other states. Here in the state of Alaska, the intercept process was simply a tool that we used. Adding the non-AFTC caseload to that intercept process would simply expand that tool. It would not be a major program change to it or program direction. However, in many other states, adding this non-AFTC effort to the IRS intercept process would radically change that. It would serve as the catalyst to force many of the states in the Lower 48 into the non-AFTC area. Once this process is required in the non-AFTC area, the states will have to service the non-AFTC caseload. I think this policy change would probably be the most significant positive improvement to the program as a whole. I would urge each of you to support this resolution and recommend that it be changed to include sending personal copies to President Reagan and the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Sir, in your estimation, why is the federal government disappointed to the AFD? Is that because of the federal funds used there and maybe possibly private funds, like personal funds that are being
misused? No, sir. Part of the answer to that question, I have to tell you, it's conjecture on my part. But for the past 3 years, the administration has been involved in trying to steer the child support program as a whole into the AFTC caseload and limit it to that area. For example, last year, FY83, the state of Alaska, if you want to look at the numbers in one particular aspect, using the AFTC recoupment and the federal funding matches and so forth, the state of Alaska made a profit from the child support program of $585,000. The federal government had to expend a little over $2 million to cooperate with us and work with us to develop the program and so forth to run it. However, if you're going to look at only the AFTC caseload, there is the profit potential, and that has been one of the driving forces in this program. A lot of the state programs have opposed that basic concept of concentrating only on AFTC cases. Now, as this extremely effective tool came on board, the question is, where do we put our assets, our resources? The intercept of the IRS process need to point out that it's not simply available to AFTC cases. It is a requirement that each state program run an AFTC IRS intercept process, while it is not possible to use it on the non-AFTC cases. My personal opinion, after dealing with the congressional people in Washington and the Reagan administration, has been that the focus has been entirely on the AFTC caseload. This intercept process would create a major departure from that area. It's my opinion that has been one of the major factors. The IRS also is opposed to it. They're concerned about additional people using the IRS mechanism for something other than the enforcement of the Internal Revenue Codes.
One question. Checks we were able to intercept. All of them that were going to the AFTC, but
not necessarily in the availability of a new tool, although I need to stress that it is an excellent tool, and I think for that purpose alone it should be put in. The major significant change would come in the states in Lower 48. They concentrate on the CPIC slope, and they run the child support program strictly for profit to the state and federal government. This program would be this process making it available to both caseloads on the Texas would be the catalyst to change that. But there's been a lot of talk about doing that. A lot of lip service states and the Lower 48. It's not taking hold yet.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Simply be used as revenue collection.
4/18, there are maybe legislative sessions. I look at my calendar, I don't have to listen to myself. Also,